مشاهدينا الكرام، اهلا وسهلا بكم ثانيه. يسعدنا الان ان نستضيف الدبلوماسي النرويجي المحضرم سيرد لارسن، وكيل الامين العام ومبعوثه الخاص لتطبيق القرار 1559 الصادر للمجلس الامن في 2 سبتمبر 2004. Mr. Sayrod Larsen, Under Secretary General for Resolution 1559, welcome to Al Arabiya, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being with you again, Talal.
This resolution has been partially implemented so far. The resulted withdrawal of Syrian forces from Lebanon, exchange of ambassadors. But there are other points that are very important still haven't been implemented, like the disbanding of the militia forces, disarming them, for the Lebanese government and army to spread its influence in all over the territories of Lebanon. Is there any hope still of implementing 1559?
Before I answer directly your question, let me say a few words about the political context of 1559 at its inception. Because a few years before it sprang into life, the Israelis had withdrawn their forces from southern Lebanon through UN mediation, where then Secretary General Kofi Annan was the person who designed the negotiations, and I was the special envoy. And we succeeded in persuading the Israelis to pull their troops out of Lebanon. Contrary to what many believe, it was not Hezbollah who pushed Israel out of the southern Lebanon. It was actually a UN-mediated exercise, and the UN drew the line of withdrawal, the so-called blue line, and the Security Council unanimously voted that the occupation of Lebanon had ended. This again led, a few years later, to 1559 to protect Lebanon's sovereignty, political independence, and territorial integrity. Which again, in practice, led to again to UN mediation, and I was again Kofi Annan's special envoy, where I negotiated on his behalf with President Bashar al-Assad the withdrawal of 45,000 Syrian troops from Lebanon and the closing down of their military intelligence facilities across the country, and particularly in Beirut. So that particular very important event sprang directly out of Security Council Resolution 1559, but at the backdrop of what we had done in persuading the Israelis to leave Lebanon. Further, the resolution led to the first free and fair parliamentary elections in Lebanon.
2008 to 2009.
Exactly, and to the election of Lebanese president. So this is the backdrop for the situation today. Tremendous gains have been achieved over the years, but unfortunately we are now rolling back on some of the fronts where we had gained terrain before. And in particular, concerning the presence of militias in Lebanon, and a case in point is Hezbollah
in
the south, and Hezbollah as an illegitimate militia has also expanded its activities in Syria, fighting with Bashar al-Assad's forces, also expanded its activities in a similar way in Iraq, and also with activities in Yemen, and also through undermining activities in several Gulf countries. So in a way, the importance of disbanding and disarming the illegitimate militia Hezbollah is now more important than ever.
How would you describe over the years of the last 12 years the United Nations, and in particular Security Council efforts to implement this resolution? Did you feel you had the backing and the support you needed?
When I presented the Secretary General's last report to the Security Council and briefed the Council just a couple of weeks ago about the situation in Lebanon as related to the Security Council Resolution 1559, I was actually very pleased and very happy to tell the members of the Council that there is a complete unity in the Council on these matters. And through my briefings of the last few years, there has been no disagreement related to the implementation.
Is that enough?
And that unity should not be be underestimated. However, activities on the ground in order to implement that consensus in the Council are extremely difficult. Because some of the parties, in particular Hezbollah, do not abide by Security Council resolutions. And the Lebanese government do not have the necessary resources and or the political will to implement a resolution which actually all countries are bound to implement based on international law.
Now, I understand that you asked for the Secretary General to relieve you from your duties by the 31st of May this month. Can we say that that Tehran Rasen after 12 years has given up on the full implementation of Resolution 1559?
No, my resignation takes place at the backdrop of an election of a new Secretary General, where it is expected of all political appointees, that is Under Secretaries Generals and Assistant Secretaries Generals, to resign and to leave to a new Secretary General reappointment or not reappointment. And I found it correct and timely to do it in the context of my last briefing to the Security Council. My heart will always be with Lebanon, and my mind we always work on the possibilities of protecting Lebanon's integrity, sovereignty, and political independence. And from my vantage point in the International Peace Institute, IPI, I will continue to work towards those goals.
What do you think about the presidency in Lebanon? There's been 2 years, there's been a vacuum, presidential vacuum, and political paralysis undermining the government institution that has been effectively running the country so far. Is Lebanon Parliament capable of independently electing a president for Lebanon?
Sadly, so far, it has not been. And it is an extraordinary situation, I believe, unique in the world today, that Lebanon has been without a head of state, a head of its armed forces for roughly now 2 years. A parliament that hardly meets, and a cabinet which is partly paralyzed. This is a striking dysfunctionality of the country, but paradoxically, Lebanon is, when you look at it, one of the most stable countries in the region. So it is a unique situation of dysfunctional stability. But it also produces a high-risk situation, because the resilience against chaos and anarchy, civil war and war, in Lebanon is very weak. So it's a high-risk country, but so far it's stable. So the politicians in Lebanon, of all stripes and colors, should rise to the occasion, have the parliament to meet and to elect a new president.
What effect does that have, the involvement of Hezbollah in the war in Syria and backing the Bashar al-Assad regime and government there on the Lebanese situation?
It is an anomaly that you have a very strong militia, probably stronger than the army in the country, which has been strengthening its role, its disturbing role, also now in neighboring countries and not only Lebanon. So Hezbollah was supposed to be a resistance movement against the Israeli occupation. The Israeli occupation ended in the year 2000, and this is also why any form of legitimacy for that militia has vanished. And it has now also illegitimately gone into neighboring countries, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and also doing, as I said before, undermining activities in other countries. So if I should, at the top of the political agenda related to Lebanon and the regional context, is the disarming of and disbanding of this militia. All other militias in Lebanon historically, based on the Taif Accords, negotiated in Saudi Arabia and through Saudi mediators, have disbanded and disarmed. Hezbollah was the only significant militia which didn't do it. And it has, contrary to the spirit and letter of the Taif Agreement, it has expanded its activities. This is very dangerous and a threat to the stability and security of the region.
Is it realistic to expect Hezbollah to disarm and disband?
Maybe it's not realistic to expect that it will happen tomorrow, but it is important that the international community maintain their position that they should disarm and disband. And I think this is the very reason why the Arab League and the OIC and the GCC have now branded Hezbollah a terrorist organization.
Would you agree with those who say that Lebanon has paid a very high price for 1559, and especially Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri? In your opinion, as the special envoy, the person entrusted with the implementation of this resolution, do you think this was worth it for Lebanon, the price they paid? And Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri, he paid his life to get this resolution enacted?
Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, he was Prime Minister of Lebanon 5 times, he was my close friend. He paid for, with his life, for being as courageous as he was, fighting for Lebanon's independence, for its territorial integrity, for its sovereignty. He was a man who gave his life for his country. That is a very heavy price to pay, but I do not believe that Lebanon will have a future unless the central calls and values paragraphs of Security Council Resolution 1559 is implemented. And here it's very important to remind everybody that actually 1559 only expresses what is in the Taif Agreement. In a way, 1559 is a UN document which was made into international law, which sums up the core of what is in the Taif Agreement. So it's actually the implementation of the Taif Agreement we are talking about here. 1559 is just an expression of what is in the Taif Agreement.
How much hope do you have that this will be realized anytime soon in Lebanon?
We have to face what is the reality in Lebanon, because the Lebanese problems are in a way not Lebanese problems, because they are linked to power structures in the region. What is of my deepest concern is the close relationship between the government of Iran and Hezbollah. In many ways, Hezbollah is an integral part of the state apparatus in Iran. So unless the broader regional problems are resolved, you cannot resolve the Lebanese issues, because Lebanon is a mirror of other conflicts in the region, and without their resolution you cannot solve the Lebanese problems. So, which means that the Lebanese alone cannot resolve the Lebanese issues. It has to be resolved based on a regional
understanding. Terry Rod Larson, Secretary General, Special Envoy for Security Council Resolution 1559, we thank you for your service to the United Nations and for Lebanon, and we wish you all the very best of luck in your plans for the future. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Bilal. It's always a pleasure being with you.
Thank you.